year. The battle for good and evil, the battle for the throne of God, it all converges right here in the city, and it's dear to God. And of course, that's why the demonic forces want this city more than any other. And we're just privileged. You know, team, I want you to always remember that those of you that get to mainly work in the Jerusalem campus, those of you that may be in other locations, but you're connected, obviously, to King of Kings through Jerusalem, never forget what a calling it is, what an honor it is. And listen, our team here, this is us today, or some of us are online. Welcome everybody online this morning. Great to see you. We get to run this leg of the race, right? And so a lot of times people ask me, why do you move with such urgency? It's because I only get one leg of this race. Amen. And I'm running as hard as I can go. Amen. And I'll hand that off to someone else, and I can be exhausted later. We always had a little saying in our sports teams, in our training teams, our trainer would push us to where the body wouldn't want to go. And he'd say, don't worry about it, you can sleep when you're dead. You know, it's just this idea that, yes, there's wisdom in pacing, and yes, there's wisdom in priorities, and all of that is true, stay in balance, but you get one leg of this thing, and you got to hand it off and run. And I'm just privileged that we get to run together, guys.
Amen.
What a team here today. I mean, so many honored people, and I'm going to take a moment now to honor everyone. Before we move forward, we have something special for you this morning we're very excited about. Speaking of special, here he is. Good morning, Mikael.
Good morning.
You know, those watching online, of course, Lily is online, Yochanan. I see Pastor Paul as well from Elahimelech and Beit Zahor, Pastor Yochanan from Nachalat, and others online, Vivian, thank you. And Zeke and Carrie are traveling right now, so they can't be with us. But we have Pastor Ilya and Janet are here this morning. Great to see you guys from King of Kings Modi'in. Blessings to you and the family. Look at the whole family is here with you today, or a lot of them are here today. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody today. Also, Ruth is with us from the Anchor Folk Center in Binyamina. So praise the Lord. Great to have you today as well. And then Greg Cash is with us from the King of Kings USA side. Thank you, Greg, for being with us today. Very excited to have everybody. Just a quick reminder, we have guests that joined us on Sunday from Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas. Pastor Shea is with us, and Mark and Tim. They all serve in different areas at Lake Point Church, and some in missions, some in students and servants and volunteers training, and some in marriage and groups. And so thank you guys for being here today.
It's an amazing church, by the way. I went online and watched a couple of sermons yesterday.
Praise the Lord. I, you know, had the blessing of being with you on campus a couple of times and sharing with your team, and what a great time together. So thank you for being with us today. They're in the country to just build relationship. It's very simple. We do everything here at King of Kings based on relationship, and lo and behold, so do they. So that worked out pretty well. And so we're just loving on people. We're just encouraging people. They've also jumped in and served in a couple of areas this week, and we're grateful for that as well. Quick schedule recap this week, and then I'm going to tell you what we're doing special today. We are a discipleship class. Continues week number 3. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we're back down in the summit, rediscovering relationships, right? Back down in the Celebration Center. I said down, but I still use this floor. Down in the Celebration Center, 6 p.m., rediscovering relationships is a perfect time to jump into that. And then tomorrow night, of course, be in prayer, because we're with the Modi'in group tomorrow for our leadership meeting. And those of you that are involved in that already received all the instructions in the agenda for that meeting, so everybody can be in prayer for this. Today is our director's meeting, so if you're a director of a ministry or a campus, we're going to meet at 10:30. Daniel, where are we meeting?
Downstairs, 16th floor.
Conference room?
Conference room.
Okay. 16th floor conference room for all of the directors. That means you're a coordinator of a ministry, you're director of a ministry, and you oversee a campus. That's going to be where you need to be with us today. So glad to have everybody join us at 10:30. That's about an hour-long meeting. We'll do it in the conference room downstairs. Then at 12 o'clock, very important, 12 o'clock today, we have our financial prayer. We do it for 30 minutes. And we've really taken such personal ownership of this one that we do it in my office. You know, that I like that. I like that we just grab it and say, hey, let's do it right here in the office where a lot of those decisions are made. So 12 to 12:30, Dr. Catherine leads us in that. And thank you so much for doing that. Be reminded, oh, a little calendar update. Mike, I'm going to go ahead and say this for the 7th of December. Yeah. So one of the things we want to do each year for the local team here is we like to get together around the holidays. And there's a lot of holidays that stack up on us coming out of the fall festivals. But now we're getting to the kind of winter holidays. We're talking about Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, and then people start to travel a lot. So we always want to get together for a holiday moment. So put it on your calendar for December the 7th. December the 7th. Yes, we understand that it's a couple of weeks before Hanukkah, but we felt like we could grab the most people before you travel if we did it early. So we're going to try to do that. Location to be determined, but go ahead and put it down for the evening of December the 7th. And we'll give you more details to follow, okay? Those of you that were in the financial prayer with us over the last couple of weeks, you might remember that we prayed for a very important gathering we have coming up. It was the Israel-U.S. Summit, right? Right? We prayed for that? Well, one of those folks, one of those coordinators, organizers, and overseers is here today. Grant Berry is with us today. So I just wanted to give you context of Grant before he jumps in here. And we're going to give him the remainder of the time today. There's something that's really a life message for him. You can see the stacks of packets and books here that he's going to share about the Romans 9/11 and the project and what he's doing, what the Lord has a word for him for the global body of Messiah and how it relates to Israel and things of that nature. So I wanted that tie-in. Wayne and I are going to be going to be with Grant and his team and the Gateway Church team and some other folks, Nick Lesmeister, Ben Juster, and others that are putting this on. We're bringing Michael Sadovsky with us as well from Israel. We know we confirmed that with Michael. So some other Israeli representation. I think, was it Peter? Was Sukahura coming? Or was his assistant? Someone was coming.
Not sure yet.
We're not sure yet. Okay. There may be one other Israeli minister coming. So I'm doing that just to give you context. So Grant, would you come on up, just take this chair, walk us through what God's put on your heart, introduce the team that's with you with Greg and Susan today as well, and let us know how they're playing into all of this. But why don't you share what's on your heart today? Okay, can we welcome Greg today?
Just let's do this. So the online people can hear you. Okay. I'm going to click that. All right, there.
Are we still good at the back?
Yep, everybody?
Okay, great. Thank you, Chad.
This is the camera, so if you want to point at somebody on camera,
there we are.
Number one,
loved.
Praise God. Well, first of all, I want to honor my brother, Wayne, and his beautiful wife, Anne. I saw her here somewhere before.
She had a very urgent call come in, so she had to say, sorry.
Amen. And before I start, my name is Grant Berry. I oversee a ministry in the United States called Reconnecting Ministries, and we're now heralding a project called the Romans 9/11 Project, which is all about the Lord achieving the fullness of John 17 through restoring love and unity in his family. And we are totally committed to that cause, and it is an honor for us truly to be here today, because a great part of our mission is to help the church in the nations reconnect with you, the remnant of Israel here in Jerusalem. Part of the revelation of the teachings in the One You Man is that in the land, the body in the land, both Jewish and Gentile, Arab and Jewish believers, are on the front lines of the ecclesia and beginning to understand the need to begin to support the body here in much greater ways. So we come in a spirit of humility and love, really to serve you and to support you and to lift up your arms. And I have a couple of guests with me. Susan Tara Grosser is one of our prayer leaders of Reconnecting Ministries, and hopefully we have a couple of minutes. She's going to share something significant that the Lord downloaded to us, which is right at the heart of the teachings of the Romans 9 Woman Project. And then we also have a dear friend and brother, Greg Healy, who has a ministry called New Breed of Business, and he's heralding a very significant, challenging ministry. Most probably, more actually, if there could be anything more challenging than the reconnection, it would be helping the church to come out of the influences of Babylon. And this is Greg's ministry focus. And so, Greg, if you can, just take a minute or two and just introduce yourself. Do I need to change this, Jeff?
You just hand it to him. He might
just stay right here. Thank you. Hey, everybody. The new breed of business is something that God is doing on the earth in preparation for his return. You could think of it like this. If Jesus were with us today in body, how would he run the world economically?
Right.
How would the banking system look? What would the financial markets look like? And surely we've got to come back, even as Ezra called the people of Israel back to the scriptures, we've got to call the church back to the truth of what the word says about not exploiting the poor, not operating in spirits of fear or greed, returning the pledge and not having recourse lending, getting people out of debt slavery. So in essence, it's really coming into the heart of what God wants to do in covenant with him and his purposes in the days ahead, preparing the way of the return of the Lord, which includes Revelation 17 and 18. And that's an economic message. If you look at Revelation 18, where in Revelation 18:4, the word says, "Come out from her, my people, lest you will be subject to the judgments of Babylon, harlot Babylon, and receive of her plagues." So the church is being called out of the influences that are not of God, the business practices that are not of God, as part of an integrated community of Christ and Yeshua together. And that includes the economic piece. And if you want to think of it another way, we would be the bank to one another rather than rely on the banking of the world. We would invest in one another rather than rely on the investments of the world for our provision.
Okay. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
That, Greg. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about the project. But before I do, we're carrying a message, obviously, that most of you already have a great download. In fact, some of you most probably have a greater download than even I do. So I don't want you to think that we're coming here to try and teach, especially the body and the land has the revelation and understanding of the one man and the need for the church and nations to reconnect with the body here. So our goal here in the land, after as we begin this new Shemitah season, is really to be able to explain to you what we are doing with this project in the nations, and we are committed to this goal 100%. And we really desire to receive your blessings and your support and your agreement in what we do. We are one family, we are a body. And in this new wineskin, it is so important for us to come together and for the walls of the individual churches and ministries not to go away, but to come down in the sense of we're building the kingdom of God together. And we just, one of the things the Lord really put on my heart was to seek the blessing of the remnant body in the land, to bless this work in the nations. We are coming into a new season, beloved, where the church is going to awaken. Now, the Lord knows his sheep and his sheep know his voice, and it is a new season. It's different from days gone by, and the challenges that we've had with this message and with the church understanding the Israel piece. It is a new day, and the Holy Spirit is working, cooperating with this message, opening up believers' eyes. We've had the blessing and honor to help Lou Engel on his journey, unveiling this message to his heart and spirit. And many of you know now that he is trumpeting the one new man and the kingdom and the power of the gospel to the Jew first and then the nation. So we are beginning to see a much greater eye-opening in the body and the significance of the family of God coming together. And so briefly, if I could, I'd sort of like to explain the project that the Lord has given us. We have, it took us about 6 years from 2015 to 2021, the end of that Shemitah cycle, to write the Romans 9:1-1 materials. And we've spent the last year, during the year of rest, preparing the media program. We have a webinar which is global. We have people coming in on Zoom from different nations, dialoguing. We're podcasting with Charisma Magazine in the United States, explaining this message on a weekly basis. And just recently, we have launched Romans 9:1-1 Project Talks, which is an interview show specifically on the reconnection in the one new man and the alignment between the church and the remnant of Israel. We have the main book. It's actually the second edition. And when I wrote the first edition, the Lord said to me, I need you to be like a surgeon so that I can touch the hearts and minds of my children. And one of the main things that the Romans 9:1 Project brings to light that is a little bit different from some other materials is the Lord has put on our heart to allow him to heal and remove the blindness that has been placed over the body when it comes to the Israel piece. Yeshua said, with the measure you use, it shall be measured unto you. And I don't have great time to go into this detail, but we know that the church was given edicts to love Israel and in a sense went in the opposite direction, a little bit like Jonah. And it's the Jonah picture is a good one, because he was called to get it right. And we believe that the church is coming into a time where it is going to really be unveiled to the significance of the great role that it has to help bring Israel to life. And so our approach is a little bit different. And with that, if you can, in about 5 minutes, Susan, I would like Susan to share with you a message that she received in one of our intercessory prayer meetings several years ago as I was writing the first edition of this of the Romans 9:1-1 book. And I have to tell you, I felt like a scribe writing this project. The Holy Spirit has trained me how to write with him. But I reached a juncture when I started to write about the church and the obstacles that are in the church, and I was blocked. And that was because I was seeing it incorrectly. I was viewing the church in two main categories. If you could generalize, the church that is still under the influences of replacement theology, and then the body of the church that is moving towards Israel. And I wanted to write the chapter with that focus, and the Holy Spirit would not let me. He shut me down. and I was very frustrated, and I knew I was blocked, and suddenly the words stopped. And I took this to our intercessory group. We're very focused on intercessory and strategic prayer. We call it pure intercession, really coming before the heart of the Lord and hearing and listening to his direction. And in this, and I brought my heart and my frustration in this particular prayer group to the intercessors. And that night the Lord broke through with most probably one of the most significant pieces of revelation in unpacking and beginning to help the children from the nations receive greater healing with the removal of the full influences of replacement theology. So Susan, if you would share with us.
Thanks, Rob. So I was sitting in this meeting and someone else was speaking, and the Lord gave me this picture, and I saw this huge cloth, white cloth, and it reminded me of the Shroud of Turin. And the reason I'll mention that is because the Lord had had me watch a video about the Shroud about 2 weeks prior to this meeting. And this is not to confirm or deny or any of that, what they were talking about, but the scientists that were examining the Shroud put it under very high multiplication. And they noticed that the fabric wasn't, it ripped, and they noticed that it wasn't pure fabric, it wasn't pure linen where they were looking. And that was the place actually where they had been doing the time testing. But the Lord showed me this cloth, and then he zoomed in. And then he continued to zoom in until I could actually see the fibers in each strand that was woven into this cloth. And what the Lord showed me was that it wasn't 100% linen. At first he didn't tell me what it was, but he said it isn't 100% the same substance in each strand. It's two different substances. And I thought, okay, Lord, what are you showing me here? Always asking. And it reminded me then of the Shroud thing that I'd seen, where they had found cotton woven into the linen of the Shroud where a repair had been made. And that repair, they had actually dyed the cotton to match the linen so that even with the naked eye and even under magnification, you couldn't tell that there were two things there. It was only, looked like there was just one substance in the fabric. But when they broke it, they realized, and when they started testing it, they realized that it was two different substances. And so the Lord was telling me, this is a picture of the body of Yeshua. And interwoven into the main fabric is a counterfeit substance. And I said, okay, what are you telling me? And what he said was, this is replacement theology, woven so deeply and so hidden into the fabric of the church that they don't know it's there. And I said, okay, what do we do with that? And then the Lord reminded me, my pastor, at every Passover, he talks about the yeast. And what he says is, if anyone's baked with yeast before, if you throw the yeast in on top of all the other ingredients, you can kind of pick it out if you make a mistake or whatever. But once you mix it in to the batter, the only one who can pull it out is the Lord. The only one who can see the difference between the two substances is the Lord. And so what the Lord was showing me was that replacement theology runs so deep in the body that even when they say they've come out of it, there could still be something there. And that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is the only one who can truly help us to discern the existence of replacement theology in ourselves to the point where he wants to rip it out and take it away. And it was funny because when I first spoke that word when we were recording the teachings for Romans 9-11 at Eastern Gate, the Lord showed me a picture of this beautiful garden, but he was digging in the beautiful dirt to prepare the way for new growth. And he had to dig out the old roots that you normally don't see them. A lot of times you pull a plant out, the roots are still in the dirt, and then they regrow. And so the Lord was showing me that we really need to dig out the roots of replacement theology to the very, very last root before it can, before we're not being influenced by that, those roots. Because those roots will always have an influence until they're removed. And so that's what the Lord was showing me with this fabric.
It's interesting, the Lord ends his dissertation on Romans 11 between Israel and the church with this scripture: "For I have given you all over to disobedience, that I may have mercy on you all." And this, the teaching focus of Romans 9:1, is not about what we've done wrong. It's about what we need to do right. It's about what needs to be corrected. And in 2019, I wrote the Romans 9:1 study guide. And there are two parts. There are two parts to the study guide. And I didn't realize this even when I was writing it, to be honest. I was just following, you know, instructions. But the first part is related individually to us. Judgment begins in the house. It's related to the healing and the mercy the Lord wants to release to break off the influences that the enemy has placed over us. You see, a lot of us on the messianic side, we've carried this message for so long. We say, church, why can't you see this stuff? Why can't you see this stuff? And it's because there's blindness. The enemy has sowed a blindness. And what we need to do first is expose that blindness and allow the Father to release his mercy to lift the blindness. And so when I start to write part two, I have, I'm like boldly proclaiming, and I don't write like that. The Lord's trained me. You know, this Jew-Gentile thing is very sensitive and delicate. There are many push-button words that can shut us down so quickly. But part two, I'm boldly proclaiming the Reformation, the new wineskin, the apostolic foundations, the prayer movement and the church coming back together, all the things that need to take place. And so I start saying, Lord, what's going on? So he says, you've allowed me to wash the hearts of my children. They're ready now to receive the instruction and to receive the new wineskin and to lay it out. And so that's what part two is about. It has a church focus. While the part one is, it has an individual focus, part two has a corporate focus to bring about the changes. And we taught both of these teachings, both one and two, of 2019 and 20, with a Christian focus. We taught at IHOP in Eastern Gate in New Jersey, which is a house of prayer that's been going about 14 years. In the New Jersey Cranford area, and then the Messianic, we did a Messianic teaching because the obstacles in the one new man are very different when it comes to Jewish and Gentile believers. And so we needed to do a Messianic focus to Jewish believers, which we taught at El Shaddai in Frederick, Maryland. And the issues on the messianic side, one of the things the Lord has brought to light in the teachings, which is again very delicate, sensitive, is that us Jewish believers, we've dealt with a tremendous amount of rejection. And even not unsaved Jews yet to believe, for thousands of years, just by being associated, connected to the Lord, the world has rejected us. But we messianic believers, we've had it from both sides, especially in the United States, a little bit. I was going to say a little bit more, but I'm not going to say that. That would better not be incorrect. But we went back to the church and we said, hey, we got saved. Many of Jesus, Israel takes back Jerusalem, and suddenly there's a movement in the spirit out of the Jesus movement, and all of these hippie Jews come to the Lord, and some of them are, leading the messianic movement today. And lot of them went back to the church and they said, hey, I'm Jewish, I gotta connect to my roots. No Jew Gentile. So rejection back from the church. And then they went back to the Jewish community and they said, Jesus, I found the Messiah, he's the one. No, you're not Jewish anymore. And so the Messianic body has grown up with this spirit of rejection around it. The enemy has used this and attached to it are issues of pride and defensiveness and other negative emotions, but the Messianic side of the family needs healing. And so we bring all of these things to the attention, both Jewish and Gentile obstacles, to all sides of the family, so we know how to pray. And ultimately, the main focus of Romans 9:1 is to bring us into the fray. We've done 12 to 14 hours of video teachings to really bring about this transformation. And I tell you, the teachings are transformational, but you cannot go down to the altar and deal with replacement theology and say a prayer of confession and then go back to church as usual. The Lord is looking for a cleansing and an uprooting and a restoring of what he established what through Yeshua at the cross and the resurrection. I'm out of time and I want to respect that. So I want to encourage you. We've brought a number of sets. These are for King of Chad. For Wayne, please distribute these as you so feel led. But we just really wanted you to know and be aware of what we are doing, and we are committed to the goal of helping the family of God retire and the Lord and come together. And the Lord said to me that I can retire when this happens.
Thank you, Grant. Not just die.
Grant, why don't you stay here with us for a moment, and we're just going to pray over you. Greg, why don't you come join as well? And Susan, why don't you come on and join us as well? Just as the Lord is prompting you, why don't you come get around here, make a circle with us. We're going to pray over what God is doing through all of these servants and in their various ministries. We're going to lay hands on them and send them off with a blessing. Really, one of the things Grant and I had talked about was wanting to come to Israel and get the affirmation of Messianic ministry here in Israel for this message. And he was very humble. He came and said, listen, I may not be telling you something you don't already know as a Messianic community and as Messianic Jewish believers and Messianic Gentile believers. It's hard to be in Israel serving without already carrying some of this message in yourself. So he's not pretending to tell you something you've never heard before. But what he is saying is he wants our partnership in that presentation, in that message, in the book, in the workbook, in the podcast and everything he's doing. So we're just going to give him and speak over all three of them today. We're just going to give him that affirmation. So as the Spirit leads you, if you'll just come and lay your hands on them and speak, a blessing would be great. Before we close, we just have a few minutes. So we're gonna do it quickly. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we bless Grant today. We bless what you've put on his heart. Father, we want to bless the way you've put it on his heart. Not with a critical spirit or with a tearing down spirit, but really with a spirit of encouragement that we might all succeed better in our calling, that all parts of the vine are healthy. Thank you, Lord, that we all receive the nourishing sap from the same root. Yes, God. That we're just trying to make sure that everyone's getting the right nourishing sap. Yes. Bless him as he writes. And even coming up on part two now, where it's going to go deeper. Maybe things that maybe he didn't expect to write about that need to be spoken now. Father, for Susan, as you continue to give her insight and revelation, prophetic words and pictures, we love the prophetic pictures, God, and we just pray that every time you give her a picture, that you're so faithful to give her the application.
What is the actionable outcome from that picture, God? We appreciate the picture, but if we don't know what to do with it, Lord, then we just wait. So we thank you for making those instructions clear for her and the whole team covering the prayer time, and for Greg as he speaks a message. You know, as much as the global body is not going to want to necessarily hear Grant's message at first, it's going to take Holy Spirit openness. Greg, I sense the Lord is saying the same thing to you. The body of Messiah does not want to hear what you have to say at first. But when the Holy Spirit breaks through in those supernatural moments, they will realize something's off. Then their heart is open to the message of realignment, of redefining what a biblical economy looks like, a kingdom economy. And then in conjunction with that, you have this bonus opportunity. That in your message, you have this bonus opportunity to tell them that this is what Israel was supposed to do. They were supposed to show the world what kingdom economics looks like. It was their job to be the example. And that can tie right back into what Grant is doing as well. So, Father, we bless them in all of their work today in the name of Yeshua.
Lord, I thank you for the Spirit in these three, their desire, Lord, to reach the church in very sensitive areas. Thank you, God, that they have the humility to recognize the sensitivities and be able to speak this message with wisdom. We pray, God, that you widen their sphere of influence. We know at this point it's mostly among charismatic churches, but we pray, God, that the whole church will get this message. And you make them wise as serpents and harmless as doves to proclaim your word in ways that it will be received with open hearts and minds, we pray. In Yeshua's name.
God, I just pray that you would increase the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Grant and his team, Lord, and as they pour out, Lord, I pray that you would just fill them to overflowing. And there is, Lord, a spirit of rejection in the entire body, Lord, from Jews to Gentiles that needs healing, Lord. And it's not just in this generation, God, it spans across generations. And I just pray that you would just fill them with the wisdom and the
courage, just speak a word that comes straight from you. She was being correct. I just felt one word, boldness. No apology needed, but just as Paul boldly came to Jerusalem to defend the gospel that he preached to Gentiles, there needs to be boldness to push back this blindness, this deception. Father, I thank you for this team. I thank you for these people that received this mandate from you. And Father, I just pray that by the Holy Spirit, give them this boldness that they need, and that they would not apologize, that they would not have any timidness in them, but they would be bold, just like the Apostle Paul was bold when he defended the gospel he preached to the Gentiles. Give them that boldness in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you guys for sharing with us today, leaving us with these lovely gifts, and we're going to make sure they get into the right hands. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you,
Rachel.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue to pray for a certain...